If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. Thank you for joining us. This is Periphery Artery Disease Awareness Month. And back in November of 2017, we had the founder of Raw Medical, Dean Irwin, on the show talking about medical innovation. We thought this would be a good time to rebroadcast excerpts from that two-part episode. Our regular host, Phil McKinney, is joined by co-host Kim McNicholas for this interview.
Kim McNicholas is here with me in the studio. Hello, Kim.
Hi, everyone.
So, Kim, it's been a while since you've been on the show.
It has. I need to get to Denver more often.
Yeah, you definitely got to. Actually, we're in the studio together. Usually we're joining these remotes, but we're actually going to be able to see each other this time. Kim, over on her show, over on the Innovators Network, has been doing a series on
health innovation.
Health innovation, which is, you know, as we've seen in the news, healthcare, medical, the cost of medical.
$3 trillion. $3 trillion. The only thing that costs us more is wars overseas. $4 trillion.
It is becoming really top and center, particularly with healthcare insurance. And the fact is that we all want to live longer, right? Mm-hmm. And I spent 30 years of my career predicting the future. And the one thing I can predict is we're all getting older, right? And so, how do we live longer? So Kim has actually been working with a company for quite some time, over the last year or so, looking and tracking kind of the whole process of innovation for a new technology, and we're going to talk about that today. So Kim, give us a little bit of background on this work you've been doing.
So Raw Medical Systems, I started covering them a little bit more than a year ago, and what I loved about this company just right off the bat is no venture capital, no debt, profitable probably since year three, and they're a 15-year startup really in the making, right? They came out, they took the path of least resistance, path of least regulation, brought one product to market, used the actual profits from that, and they turned it around and reinvested into their ultimate flagship product. And what I love about this flagship product is that I really, according to doctors, it's going to be a game changer. It already is a game changer. It is tackling the number one killer in the United States, which is cardiovascular disease. We have not seen a big breakthrough like this for cardiovascular disease probably since balloon over the wire. So this is really, really huge. And I was able to cover the FDA study from beginning to end. And they just knocked it out of the park. They had a 94% success rate in their FDA study, and they had zero complications. And if you look at their competitors in the marketplace, not one company has that track record. And in fact, one of their closest competitors had a 34% adverse event rate, including death. So this is really a big breakthrough. And I think to date, they've had their FDA clearance since June, done more than 500 cases, almost 600 cases, and still no serious complications. Really huge.
And this is a unique challenge, right? Because medical innovation is incredibly hard because it is a regulated industry.
Right.
So, and you had a unique front row seat watching this innovation happen from that standpoint of actually, you know, being part of it. In fact, I was just teasing Kim before we came on the air about some of the videos and pictures she was posting on her Facebook page.
I have more vasculature than I do anything else in terms of my photo albums these days.
Yeah. Look what on everybody's iPhone. So with that, let's bring in Dean Irwin. Dean, you sat here now, you know, Kim's like, is a walking advertisement for you from the standpoint she knows all your facts.
Well, it's true. Kim came on board early in the study and was able to watch how we recruited sites to participate in the study, which was not easy. Watched us struggle with some of the regulatory aspects of the study, the IRBs, getting these sites on board, and then the physician training.
Mm-hmm.
With an innovative product like this, we were not a little bit out of the box. We were way out of the box.
Right.
So let's back up here a little bit. You know, as Kim shared, you know, there's a history with Ra Medical about how you went through the whole process. But let's back up. You know, you don't all of a sudden become an innovator at that stage in your life. So give us a little bit of context, background on yourself.
Well, sure, there are two parts of it. One is the story behind the technology, which is a great story. I mean, it started back in the 80s. And we're
going to go all the way back to your age 13.
and that's the story I guess we're going to tell right now.
Because how many kids could say that they were an actual innovator at age 13?
So I don't know.
You and I have had a couple of them on our show.
Oh, that's true. Well, nowadays, we're talking a few years ago.
Quite a few years ago. And it was a different world back in,
yes.
back in the 70s. Things were very different.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I start at, you know, when I was in my, you know, teens, 15, 16, when I started working as an engineer.
No, we're going to go back further. When he was age 13, he left home to fix televisions. He started his own television fixing business.
Well,
he was an entrepreneur from the very beginning.
And that's right. So when I left home, I needed to support myself. And prior to that, I had gone through the neighborhood and found old junk televisions, did some reading, figured out how they worked, bought myself some test equipment. I had a paper route. That gave me the ability to buy some test equipment so that I could work on these electronic devices. Back then, they were mostly all tube-driven devices. And that got me to the point where I went to the local, you know, television repair shop, and they hired me to do piecemeal work. I continued my study of physics and electronics.
On his own.
And then spent a little bit of time at Stevens Institute of Technology and some other areas.
Oh, wow.
Learning. And then finally one day I got hooked up with a group that was doing some work at MIT and spent some time there as well as in industry working on some pretty interesting stuff related to thermonuclear fusion.
And here is a guy.
Hold on. Thermonuclear fusion.
From fixing TVs. Never graduated high school.
Leaving home at 13.
Right.
Never graduated from high school.
Never going to college.
You go to Stevens Institute, you end up at MIT on fusion.
We need a few more dots in here because we're not putting thermonuclear fusion with a paper out.
Well, it was a straight line. It was I got involved with a company in New York, actually pretty close to where the IBM headquarters were.
How did you get involved? I mean, you're sitting here fixing televisions, right? And
I walked through the front door, literally just
what
cold.
What made you want to walk through this front door?
The name of the company was Universal Voltronics, so it had to be exciting and interesting.
Wow, did you?
There's a new concept of branding.
So, you know. So I walked in, and they brought out this production guy who said, all right, you know, do you know what a screw is? Do you know how to put things together? And so we talked, and he got up, and he says, I'm the wrong guy. I need to get you somebody from engineering. So he got somebody from engineering, and we went out, and a couple of guys, Dan Seligman, John Madeleine, and others, took me under their wings. And said, all right, we're going to design circuits. We're going to design this equipment.
But at that age, didn't you need a work permit?
Actually, I think that was overlooked somehow. So, again, this was a different...
This was a different world.
It was technicality. It was a different world back then. So, yeah, no, I couldn't drive. And so, you know, I walked or bicycled to work in the morning. And these guys really helped me work on my technical skills. as well as fitting into a corporate environment. I mean, we had hundreds of employees, mostly a government contractor. And that's when I got involved with the group up at MIT. One of the projects that I was working on was an electron cyclotron heating system for use in thermonuclear fusion experiments. So at that point, I got to work with Jack Schuss and Dr. Miklos Porkolab on the Alcator-C program at MIT, which it was a lower hybrid heating system for use in heating the hydrogen gas within what's called a tokamak to study thermonuclear fusion for a potential energy source to replace nuclear fission.
Wow. At age 15, 16?
I guess 16? I was 16 at that time.
I mean, yes,
I'm
we.
I'm trying to remember Phil, what I was doing at 16.
It wasn't
nuclear fusion. I can attest to that.
We've interviewed 13 and 14 year olds, but they certainly weren't dealing with the next big energy source.
Holy Toledo! So you were working on that program. What came next? We've got just a short little time before we take a break here, but.
Well, then next I realized that perhaps the pay wasn't all that great at these institutions, educational institutions. So I heard about this opportunity in California. My company sent me out there to San Diego, actually Torrey Pines, beautiful location right on the beach. where the government had another energy program, a thermonuclear energy program called the Doublet 3. I worked there for about a year.
Is this out near General Atomics?
This is General Atomics.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Holy Toledo.
Oh, amazing.
So that's
General Atomics is an amazing story.
It is an amazing story.
If you want to know the backstory on
Atomic
propulsion engines for space. That was
right.
that was the original impetus for General Atomics.
Right. It was Gulf General Atomics.
Yep.
And then Chevron bought Gulf. Chevron realized that they didn't want to be in that world, and it was sold to some real estate developers.
Okay, we're going to pick up. This is a great start for the show. We're going to pick this up after we take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Kill Innovation on the BizTalk Radio Network.
In the know, I'm Brian Osuch. Mike Savicki is a C6-7 quadriplegic who is a Navy veteran, multi-sport athlete who stays on the go. He says when it comes to mobility and transportation, there is hope for those who are disabled.
It's about finding wheelchair-accessible vehicles and solutions that allow us to drive or be transported to be a part of society, which is what we with disabilities really want most of all.
Mike still drives and lives an independent life.
I was introduced to a wheelchair-accessible vehicle through a local Namita dealer who taught me about getting in and out with my wheelchair, driving with my hands, and about the fact that I can get my driver's license again and I can have that independence and freedom.
Many call Mike a hero, and he's urging others to enter the local Heroes Campaign Contest for a chance to win a wheelchair-accessible van tailored to meet their needs.
Go to the website mobilityawarenessmonth.com and share a short story or a video that tells us about who you are and what you're doing that makes you a little special.
For more information, go to mobilityawarenessmonth.com. Now you're in the know from Numita.
Five things you can count on when using LegalZoom for your business. Number one, reliability. You know, more than a million people have already trusted LegalZoom to help them start their businesses. In corporations, LLCs, nonprofits, DBAs, and more, use LegalZoom to get started the right way. Number two, experience. You can count on LegalZoom for all of the details. They've been helping all types of business owners for 15 years. Number three, helpful support. They have the right people standing by, ready to help with your questions, all based in the U.S. Number four, legal advice. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, so they built a network of independent attorneys available in 48 states. You'll get answers to your legal questions, and they can review supplier contracts, employment laws, and help with most of the day-to-day situations that pop up. And finally, number five, there are no surprises. LegalZoom provides complete transparency with upfront pricing and customer reviews with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Make the smart choice for your business today at LegalZoom.com, and don't forget to enter Ray in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.com.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done! Learn more at TryPaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake, and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back. unless you get paychecks. More than half a million small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-96.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. This episode is a rebroadcast of the interview with Dean Irwin, the founder of Ra Medical. Let's rejoin Phil McKinney and Kim McNicholas as they chat more with Dean.
Welcome back. We're going to pick up this conversation with Dean. So, Dean, we were talking before about now you're in Torrey Pines. You're at General Atomics. And you spent how many years there?
6 years.
6 years.
And he started there at what, age 17 now?
I think I was 17 when I started.
Now, I've been to General Atomics. Right? The work there is phenomenal. And you're there without a degree at 17.
And that was a problem. I was the youngest person in the physics department or any department at General Atomics. I think at that time we had about 4,000 employees.
So, and you had hair down to your waist at that time, too.
I didn't. I cut my hair off.
Oh, you did
the
cut
day
your hair
before
off.
I left for General Atomics.
He knew that game.
So I was cleaned up.
You couldn't pull the hippie
that
thing
was,
off.
That was too much. Yeah. Too much for them to bite off. So
17 and a hippie. That's a hard one.
Yeah. So I realized I wasn't going to need to. I wasn't going to try to sell that. So I lopped off the hair and really had a great time there. The physicists there were tremendous. They really helped bring me into a lot of different sections of the company, both from an engineering standpoint as well as from the theoretical and applied physics. We all realized that my strength lied in the applied physics end of it. And so I worked on developing the equipment that's used for the experiments. And so again, the experiments were thermonuclear fusion. And I worked on the maser systems, like a laser, but produced microwaves, very powerful, intense microwaves, again, to heat the plasma for this thermonuclear fusion experiment.
But how is it that someone at age 17 would be able to get into thermonuclear fusion? What is it about you? How is it? I can't even... Your career path just catapulted. I mean, it was on the fast track. What is it about the way you think that allowed you to literally do what most people can't even do in an entire lifetime?
Well, you know, it's not really that complicated. I know it sounds complicated, but the parts that I were doing, the maser itself is essentially a vacuum tube. And, you know, televisions have vacuum tubes. So for me, it wasn't all that different. And the electronics that run it are, in fact, not all that dissimilar from those in a television.
Okay, here's what I'm going to point out, though. Right, the difference, what it sounds like, though, is that you didn't hold yourself back. It was like kind of almost like a no fear. Hey, just like a TV. It looks the same.
How tough
the same,
can it be?
How hard can it be?
Right.
Versus, I think a lot of people in the who've got that idea. It's the fear. They just can't take that first step.
Right. They think
to actually
about
make it.
Everything they can't do versus what they can do and what they do know.
And that's really how I direct my energies. Not ever saying, well, you know, that's intimidating. That's an insurmountable challenge. I look at it as, well, why not? Why isn't it the same? what are the similarities and how can I use those to better understand what I'm doing?
Right. It's almost like innovation by analogy.
Right.
It's like TV, so therefore, why can I apply what on this side? Mm-hmm. And it's actually one of the key things that we don't teach in education today, right, is that problem-solving skill.
Right.
I have this problem. Does it look like any other problem that is similar? And can I apply something totally unrelated to go solve it?
And it, a lot of that comes down to common sense.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it and just figure out how it works. There are so many similarities in physics and in nature that you'll see the same problem solved perhaps many different ways, but with a very common thread.
Mm-hmm.
And that common thread can tie it all together. And for me, that comes very naturally.
Right. The most successful innovators actually come from outside of a certain industry and apply what they see somewhere else in an industry and ultimately become the next big disruptors, such as Elon Musk with Tesla. He had never been involved in manufacturing of cars before, or outer space as well.
Yeah,
with that,
the SpaceX, I think, is the great story for Elon. Like,
that is huge.
Okay, you're going to commercialize space and you're going to launch somebody up in space. Yeah, right. And we were talking before we started the show about the innovation antibodies. So here, if you walk over to my cube, you'd see an outline of a body and then a sign
almost
on
like
the wall.
Almost like a crime scene.
Like a crime scene dead body, mm-hmm. and there's a sign on the wall that says, here lies an innovation antibody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually quite funny. I didn't do it. Somebody on staff did it, and it's been there now for 4 years.
It was in your spirit, though.
Yeah. But it is pointing out, though, that we can be our own antibody.
Right.
We can question ourselves to say, you know, hey, you know, I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. I don't have a college degree. I can't make this happen, right? You know, we're in some cases our own worst enemies at bringing our ideas to making them real.
I got out of a meeting this morning with a major medical device company. I had introduced my technology from Ra Medical Systems to them about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their panel of experts, their medical expert, their business development experts, their technical experts, and they all thought I was crazy. They said, right to my face, they said, that's just not going to work. This is, you can't, the doctors won't use that kind of product. They use this, they won't use that.
And, well, you know something, though, I found is the people that yell the loudest and that your idea is the craziest just reinforces that you're on the right track.
And it was true. That didn't dissuade me. So here I'm back in front of the same group again. And he said, well, everything you promised came true. And so we'd like to wipe the slate clean, forget about the past, and move forward. And we're very interested in what your technology
is. Yeah, what they're really telling you is don't rub our nose in it.
That's right.
Hey,
it was basically, don't say I told you so.
Yeah, don't say I told you so kind of a thing. Like, okay, I'm acknowledging it. Let's move on. Let's not, you know, rehash history.
And what was nice is, you know, when I talk about some of the experiences with the product mm-hmm. that we're having, I really had an attentive audience.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a lot of, wow, that's crazy, or that's phenomenal, or, you know, how did you get them to do that? It's just, wow, you got them to do that, and that's really great. So now let's see other aspects of the technology, how it fits in, what's the future, and what can we do with it?
But in you leaving home at age 13, was it something that your parents instilled in you, or some experience from when you were younger that really taught you that not to let what you don't know and have never done before get in the way of what you want to do?
Well, you know, I have children, and I actually see that spirit in them. So perhaps it's just something that's in my DNA, where I say, why not? Mm-hmm. Why can't you leap from this couch to that couch? Or why can't you build it this way? Why can't there be such a color or activity?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, right? Because you start looking at, like, you know, siblings or children, or in my case, I have 5 grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at some of those grandkids, and I'm watching them going, oh, man, I know exactly where they're heading, right? You know, I know exactly what they're thinking, and they're going to get themselves in trouble, and they do it. Or the creativity that a small kid, you know, take a toilet paper roll, and how many different ways can a small child turn that into a new toy? So we're going to take another quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up this conversation with Dean Irwin. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule. Thousands of doctors, health specialists, and professionals recommend Balance of Nature as a way of improving their health. Listen to a few unsolicited success stories from doctors that use Balance of Nature as well.
Scientific research has shown that many cancers and lifestyle diseases can be prevented with a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. This prevention comes from the phytochemicals in the plants. I take Balance of Nature because I know, I've seen it in my lab, and I know that it works. I've seen the immune response increase, I've seen your DNA repair capacity increase, and I've seen DNA protection. And that, to me, as a scientist, rings so true.
For a limited time, use discount code RADIO6 to receive a 50% discount on your first preferred whole health system and have it shipped to you free. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com. Again, use discount code RADIO6.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095. 6095 for your free author submission kit.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. This episode is a rebroadcast from excerpts of when Dean Irwin was a guest on the show. In this segment, Phil and Kim talk more with Dean about his company's medical innovations.
Well, welcome back. We're picking up our conversation with Dean Irwin. Now, Dean, in the last segment, you were talking about, you know, this kind of internal drive you have of why not. Now, those of us in the innovation game kind of have what our natural curiosity or why not.
Or stubbornness.
But I think we all have our own stories of it getting ourselves in trouble sometimes. Because we go maybe push that boundary a little too far.
Well, you know, if you couple that stubbornness and that why not attitude with someone who's young, perhaps a teenager, now you can really make trouble. Put that package into a government, you know, lab that also caters to the Department of Defense, and now you've got a real explosive problem.
Literally.
Actually, there were some small explosions, but that's another story. But in one case, in doing my work at General Atomics, you know, we would need equipment, oscilloscopes and things like that from, you know, companies like Tektronix or Hewlett-Packard. And oftentimes these were quite expensive in the, you know, $20,000 or $30,000 range. And back in 1980 and 1981, that was a lot of money. Well, I would call up the rep from the Tektronix or the Hewlett-Packard and say, well, yeah, let's just buy it, bring it on down, and we'll take care of it. And they would sell it to General Atomics. Of course, the proper procedure was to go through the requisition protocol and then have purchase orders done through the purchasing agent with government bids going out for the equipment.
And 2 years later.
Right. And, of course, I would circumvent that. And then someone would say, well, where did this equipment come from and who did this? And, of course, I was dragged up to the top of the hill where I had to promise never to do it again. Of course, you know, next week was far enough away for me so that that didn't seem to stop me. But, always in trouble, but somehow forgiven most of the time. And ultimately that sort of behavior led to me spinning out of General Atomics and starting my first company.
Mm-hmm.
And General Atomics was my best customer.
Really?
So I built custom designed equipment that catered to the experiments. So when they had a project, previously they would just ask me to build it. But now they would contract my company to do it. And so that worked out very well. And I wound up working for Western Area Power Administration, Caltech, the Plasma Physics Department of Caltech, on the Phaedrus program.
And how old are you at this point?
I guess at this point now I was 21.
Rip-roaring.
All of 21.
So, and I started the company at an industrial park just outside the gates at General Atomics. And that worked very well.
That's one way to avoid the purchasing department.
Yes. Well,
you're beyond the reach of the gate. They can't grab you.
And what was nice is that, you know, we had a great relationship with a lot of the groups there, and that worked out very, very well.
Did you take your team with you?
No, I didn't. I started first by myself, de novo. I did hire some people out of General Atomics and other companies like SAIC and other defense contractors. And largely that's what we were, although we weren't a defense contractor, although we did do work with the Department of Defense, we were primarily a U.S. DOE supplier.
Okay.
So Caltech, Princeton, Western Area Power Administration, TRW, Lawrence Livermore, those were our customers.
Okay. And so you started that company at 21, so.
Right. So that went for quite a few years. I think that went for another 6 or 7 years, and then That went bankrupt. There were a lot of reasons for that, but the timing and other issues led to, just not enough business coming in.
Right, just earning your stripes at that point.
Right.
I think every entrepreneur needs to go through at least one bankruptcy. I've got stories of having startups shat out from underneath you. So.
Right. So I'm glad that was early on.
Yeah.
So,
but the funny thing is, tell me if you had the same experience, though. Once you go through that, you'll do anything not to go through it a second time.
That's correct. And you get much more creative. And you actually build up a tool chest to help you navigate
It's not something you learn from a book. You almost got to go through the fire.
That's right.
Right, to really understand what does that really mean.
And then the hindsight's much better.
Yes.
So that you can actually predict some of these issues before they occur.
Right, it's one of those ones like, okay, I should have seen that coming, but I didn't know what to look for.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, I have a toolbox that I can go into when things get tough and when you need to have that forward-looking perspective and say, well, that's okay. It's going to be a rocky road now. I see the road up ahead, or it may be around the curve, but I know it's there. Let's keep driving. Let's put it into low gear and navigate the path.
Do you think that because you were always trying something new, that you had all these little failures along the way, that when you did have that major failure, when you had that bankruptcy, it didn't hit you as hard because you were almost prepared for it? It was like these little failures along the way helped build up to a certain point where it didn't really faze you, that you were able to take the lessons that you needed to learn in that point and move on?
Yeah, at that point, I went right into another startup.
Mm-hmm.
And at that startup, that leads into the product that we're talking about today.
Yeah,
that was my first medical device foray. And it was a company with just a few people. And we were trying to tackle this job of applying an excimer laser, which it was something I was very comfortable with at that point, to treating atherosclerotic disease.
So did you do the startup, or were you hired into a startup?
I was hired into a startup that was just getting out and just trying to figure out how to develop this.
How did you hear about this startup, or how did they hear about you? Which way was it?
It was very funny. It was a little ad in the paper. And I saw it, and for many times in my career, including at Spatialite, which is Kim knew me from.
I was his assistant.
What? I didn't hear this side. I've never heard this part of the story.
It was during college.
One is, I can't imagine what life was like having Kim McNicholas as your assistant. That could be interesting.
Fortunately, it was a long time ago, and she hadn't developed these habits that she has.
Yeah. So she's learned bad habits since then.
Since then.
I've learned to talk.
So that was actually back in 93, and I'm talking about even before then. I came in, and the idea was to apply this excimer laser, which, again, was a gas laser, something I'm comfortable with high voltage and high power, again, using masers and other types of high-power lasers. That's very comfortable for me. And I saw the ad, and I knew precisely that I was the person to do that. And so I went, and, of course, I was hired.
So did you have an interest in medical, or was it just, hey, I can take my physics, the fun stuff I do in physics, and find some way to apply it?
Or was there
really a draw for the medical side of it?
At that point, I looked at the medical aspect of the challenge as being just very similar to the aspect of thermonuclear fusion. applying all these different tools to, heat the plasma. Well, if we're not heating a plasma or trying to contain a plasma, well, here we're just trying to photochemically ablate this plaque. So, it's not really a medical problem. It's we've got this material within the arteries that we need to dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
And let's figure out how to get this energy to do that.
So backing up a little bit, when I think about trying to correlate thermonuclear fusion to plaque in a vein, it sounds like what it really is you've got a toolbox of skills and abilities. And then it's really what I refer to as kind of this constraint-based innovation. How do I take the tools within a certain set of constraints, right? Do fusion, but I got to do it in a very particular way, otherwise very bad things happen. or in this case, how do I apply it to the plaque problem?
And not have very bad things happen. And it's
right?
even more important inside a living person.
And not give doctors and patients a bad day.
Yeah. Do you find that constraints actually help you in the whole process? Because we've had this discussion on the show in the past around just letting teams go hog wild every which way direction. Or do you apply those constraints and actually do they get more creative on when you define those constraints clearly?
And I think that the iterative path is the best. So you actually need to take the first idea and iterate it, make a change, move it closer to the goal, and find out if that's the right way. Oftentimes, there's a lot of backtracking.
Correct.
But eventually, that type of iterative development will get you much further quicker than the sort of shotgun approach and let everybody run hog wild.
Perfect. Take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue on our conversation with Dean Erwin. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network.
In the know, I'm Brian Osuch. Mike Savicki is a C6-7 quadriplegic who is a Navy veteran, multi-sport athlete who stays on the go. He says when it comes to mobility and transportation, there is hope for those who are disabled.
It's about finding wheelchair-accessible vehicles and solutions that allow us to drive or be transported to be a part of society, which is what we with disabilities really want most of all.
Mike still drives and lives an independent life.
I was introduced to a wheelchair-accessible vehicle through a local Namita dealer who taught me about getting in and out with my wheelchair, driving with my hands, and about the fact that I can get my driver's license again and I can have that independence and freedom.
Many call Mike a hero, and he's urging others to enter the local Heroes Campaign Contest for a chance to win a wheelchair-accessible van tailored to meet their needs.
Go to the website mobilityawarenessmonth.com and share a short story or a video that tells us about who you are and what you're doing that makes you a little special.
For more information, go to mobilityawarenessmonth.com. Now you're in the know from Numita.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. We are wrapping up this special episode by rebroadcasting excerpts of a previous show, where founder of Raw Medical, Dean Irwin, was a guest discussing medical innovations.
Welcome back, Dean. We were wrapping up in the last segment about how this laser actually works, but we were getting into a little bit of, you know, competitors using wires, and I'm guessing most of our listeners, including me, we don't have a medical background. So if you had to describe the real competitive advantage for your innovation compared to those that are in the market, what would those be?
Well, the real advantage is the ability to cross these chronic total occlusions and cut all the different types of plaque while being easy to use. That is our competitive advantage. But also, that couples with the safety profile, which is outstanding, and the economics. One of the challenges that we faced was our design was very different from any of the other devices available. Every single other device uses a wire to navigate the device down to the lesion. We didn't want to use the wire. Oftentimes, the wire gets the physicians into trouble by going what's called subintimal. The wire goes into the space in between the layers of the artery, in between the intima and the media. That then forces whatever technology you're going to use to clear that blockage down into that space. That causes dissection, which will ultimately require a stent to bail you out.
Mm.
So we thought that we could position our device as the wire.
It's almost like self-guiding.
Almost self-guiding. So being a large device, sometimes we use guide catheters or sheaths to help get our laser catheter to the blockage. And those are common tools that the physicians use. So that's not out of the box. The fact that our device doesn't have a wire was certainly very different. And at least for the first 2 years, we experienced a tremendous pushback on that. That, you know, how is it going to work without a wire? How am I going to get there? And am I going to lose the real estate when I pull this out?
And yet, the issue that they're addressing is that they can actually cross these blockages that can't be crossed with a guide wire.
And that's important. That's one of the great features of our device, is that it actually crosses by photochemical ablation these occlusions while staying in the true lumen. And that saves the physician time, saves money, and saves a stent being applied, which
right.
can they then later reocclude or clog up. And so having this sort of very simple therapy, removing the plaque without a lot of trauma, really improves the patient outcomes.
Well, it also, it sounds like, you know, like people saying, I don't know, how are you going to do it without the wire? It's the, I'm caught in the historical way of how things are always done, which again is another common boat anchor that gets thrown on to innovators. I don't know, it's always done this way. You need to have a wire.
And even internally, we struggled with that. While we were developing our flagship Dabra catheter, we had designs that went over the wire. We knew they wouldn't work as well as the device that we have that's wireless. So internally, even some of our other engineers and scientists said, Dean, we're just going to have to get this wire lumen in there. We're just going to have to make an over-the-wire version. And here we are several years later, and the physicians are saying, not using a wire lumen is one of its strengths, not a weakness.
Wow. So give us a quick synopsis. Where are you at now? The product is FDA approved?
That's right. It's FDA cleared now. We are in about a dozen states in the United States. We have operations in six countries now. We're operating in the United Kingdom, in the Netherlands, in Germany, Italy, as well as Mexico and the United States. The device is being used on a daily basis around the world and with tremendous success.
I think this is a great example of, you know, you don't have to go to the really crazy kinds of innovations. It's you're committed to the innovation. You needed to wait for those cycles of other innovations to kind of come in and play.
That infrastructure.
And you had the patience to wait the 15 years to make that a reality.
And patience is a lot of it. I think coupled with the patience, you know, people like to call me stubborn, but I think it's the perseverance, the seeing the technology and the application all the way through, making the changes that are really needed, and not listening to the outside noise of, you've got to fit the old mold, you've got to do it the way we've been doing it, you can't make that change, it'll never work. And we heard that a lot.
And so, you know, I guess that's a great boiling down, right? It really is that perseverance and not letting the antibodies kind of distract you and take you off what you know is an innovation that could have a direct impact on people's lives.
Absolutely right. And it's tough. As an entrepreneur, as an innovator, it's very tough not to listen or believe all the naysayers, all of that noise, those antibodies, as
yes.
you put them, who are going to try to stop you and take you down and steer you into their world or their direction. So if there's one thing I could say, it's that perseverance, that tenacity to stick to your principles and really work the project, even if it's going to be very out of the box. Make it happen. If you need other infrastructure to help your product adoption, then wait for it or develop that along the way.
Perfect. So, Dean, if people want to follow what you're up to, what's the best way for them to see what you're up to next?
Oh, I often use LinkedIn to talk about what we're doing at Ra Medical and how we're doing it. So we have, well, I have both a personal and obviously the corporation has an account. So we try to keep people posted on LinkedIn.
Perfect. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. Hey, Kim, thanks for joining me today here in the studio.
We have to do this more often.
Yeah, we got
to
do this more often. It's much better together in person than trying to do it remote. So as we wrap up today's show, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen. If you're interested in getting connected to a community of other innovators, people working on ideas, trying to find the way to bring that idea to fruition, check out the innovators.community. Innovators.community. It's a private Slack community of innovators. Right now, we've actually got a couple of ideas. We're helping out some of the members of the community trying to make their pitches to their bosses to get some funding for their innovation team. So we're all willing to help you out there. So check that out. You can find out all the information, again, over at theinnovators.community. And join into the conversation. That's where you can find that support when you run into those innovation antibodies. And so with that, we're going to check out for this week. Appreciate you, again, taking the time out of your schedule. If you've got any questions, just drop me an email over at phil@killerinnovations.com. That comes directly to me, no filtering. And have a great week. Go out there, work on those ideas, and don't let those innovation antibodies get you down. Go out there and change the world.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.